all. This is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
And now it's time for the Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe, or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter mile radius.
Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts. Who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone.
Oh, Lord, that man just sawed a puppy in half.
Hey there. Don't worry. I have a clown nose.
Oh, no! That drunk guy just hit my child!
It's okay. I have a clown nose.
Clown nose. Just put one on and you can do anything. Want to run for office? Murder people in public? Just grab a clown nose and bam! Everyone laughs.
Clown noses are sold at gag stores online and pedophile conventions. Grab one today and make magic happen.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
You know what would be really cool? If George Gray of The Price is Right was talking about a 20-ounce bag of fish sticks and actually said a 20-ounce bag of fish dicks. Yeah, that would be funny.
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are doing all televised and radio games of the NFL this year.
As much fun as an electric can opener to the scrotum, two douchebags and a microphone.
Two douchebags and a microphone.
We talk Kansas.
Back, two douchebags and microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
Oh, you don't get the Vice Channel, do you?
No.
Tonight, they have the Dark Side of Wrestling series on it, and it's very good. Tonight, it's Handsome Harley Race.
Oh, I loved him.
You can YouTube it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So anyhow, the Dark. I mean, Harley Race had a lot of shit happen, didn't he? I mean, down at Lake of the Ozarks.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Well, anyhow, without spoiling it.
Including a boat wreck down there. That's what I'm talking about. Ozark that killed somebody, yeah.
And disabled a woman for life, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah. So, yeah, and all the other stuff that went on, and all the shenanigans and all that stuff that goes with professional wrestling. So, anyhow, I wanted to mention that. Just go to YouTube and look up the Vice Channel and then put in, like, Dark Side of the Ring. This is being released tonight, and as a matter of fact, it's recording it right now, and when we get done with this podcast, I'm going to go watch it, because I'm like you. I grew up with Harley Race. I grew up with him fighting Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And Bulldog Bob Brown and Hercules
okay.
Hernandez and yeah, what?
Okay, you know how Ric Flair ended up wearing that crown? Come out with a crown and all that.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember how he got that crown?
Didn't he get it from Gorgeous Gary Royal, the promoter or whatever, the manager?
It was Harley Race.
Oh, it was Harley Race. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yes. They had... Well, it was him, Jerry Lawler, and Ric Flair. They passed that crown around.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't know that, but I'm sure it's going to be on this one.
Yeah, it went from Harley Race... Ric Flair, and then down to Jerry Lawler.
Yeah. Ric Flair, when he was battling Harley Race, he had the title predominantly, but Race got him a couple of times. Harley Race was, what, six-time world champion or something?
Oh, it was.
It was an enormous amount.
Them old wrestlers were the best, man.
Oh, they were. Yeah. That's back when they weren't afraid to gouge a guy's eyes.
Oh, they weren't afraid to cut their own foreheads and wrists.
They did it all the time. I remember...
You hardly see blood anymore, you know?
No. I mean...
Once on occasion.
Oh, they were saying, I think it might have been Hulk Hogan, and then it was also another guy, too. Maybe it's like Bulldog Bob Brown. They had him on a local show. And he said,
Bulldog. Yeah, he was known for it.
Bob Geigel, actually, is Bulldog Bob Brown and Bob Geigel were talking about what they used to do, and one of them would whisper, hey, the match is getting kind of boring, that may grab a razor blade, cut yourself, gotta be some blood.
Me and my dad used to watch 7 o'clock Sunday mornings in Kansas City.
Yep. All-Star Wrestling was the name of it.
All-Star Wrestling, yep.
And it was at Memorial Hall.
Yep, Memorial.
The same two old ladies used to watch it.
The two old ladies that were twins.
They were there for every match. They're like 80 or 90.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were awesome.
Yeah. And then Bulldog Bob Brown, I got to meet him because he was a security guard at Harrah's, I believe it was Harrah's, before his death. And, you walk up there, huge guy, and then you see his face. I go up there and I show my idea. I look out, Bulldog. And he goes, yeah, I get that a lot. And I go, man, dude, I grew up on you. He goes, evidently,
dude,
everybody.
I would love to meet him.
He goes, evidently, everybody watched that show. And I was like, yeah. I said, dude, I go, you're always one of my favorite. And he goes, well, thanks, man. He goes, I appreciate it. I said, I'm glad. Yep. I said something like, I'm glad you're doing well. And he goes, something like it's a living or something. I don't know.
His retirement, man.
Yeah, that was his retirement. But he was a cool guy when I met him, and I couldn't believe that was him. But, he had such a distinct face. And also, he's a huge guy. So you walk up there, and you're already looking at him going, gosh, look at that guy. He should be a wrestler. Oh, wait a minute. You know. I was thinking football player. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying... I've always heard stories that he was a great guy.
Well, my encounter with him, he couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been friendlier.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with him because he didn't have to be nice. I mean, he was just like, he was just getting people's IDs and making sure they were old enough. And if someone got stupid, he'd go over there and pick them up by the Scotty and throw them out, you know?
I think he could kick it probably anybody out of that place.
I heard through the grapevine that he did. He could and he did. because there's a certain stigma that comes with a wrestler. There's the people that don't believe it's, that... And it is scripted. Yes. But it doesn't mean the guys are not tough. It does not mean that the guys aren't huge and cannot break your face open. So, occasionally
your
you get that guy...
takes a beating.
Yes. They are tough people. Yeah. Very tough people. A lot of them end up on opiates because they hurt so bad. Anyhow, there's a few people that have a couple of beers in them, and they're going to go take on that wrestler because it was a fake sport. And, of course, they ended up outside on their ass with their head spinning. So, watch that when you can. It'll probably be coming out in a week or two on YouTube. I'm going to watch it tonight, and I'll talk to you about it tomorrow night before the podcast. Sound like a plan?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, Rob, you got anything you want to go into?
Yeah, actually, I got one more here I'd like to get into tonight.
All right. Well, I've been primarily talking on this one. I got to give you a little bit of time. I'm sorry.
No, actually, if you go back and listen, I've been talking quite a bit, too.
Oh, okay. All right. I feel like I'm hogging the show sometimes.
We were going off script quite a few times tonight.
Yeah, and it's not like we have that set of a script, but yeah, no, it's been a very fun episode. So, anyhow,
I'm loving this one. Yeah.
It's been very good. That's why we're going over. It's like, man, this is going great. Let's just keep going.
Yeah. Okay. How about five celebrities who dated criminals?
Oh. Okay.
The funny thing is, most of the celebrities are criminals.
I would agree. They steal your money at the very least.
Okay.
Allegedly.
First step. Carmen Electra. Her image suffered a brief tarnish when she married basketball player, your favorite, Dennis Rodman.
If anyone ever wants to see Dennis Rodman, go to Ocean Manor Hotel in Fort Lauderdale. The owner knows
him,
to my understanding.
You don't want to meet him.
You don't want to meet him. And he was given this football player. I met Michael Irvin there. He couldn't have been nicer. I guess the owner of that resort hotel, they were friends with football players and ex-athletes, and he gives them free stay because it creates a buzz. Like I'm talking about it right now, right? But Dennis Rodman, I was not impressed with. He was given this, someone said he's a football player, a lineman for somebody, I forgot. Huge guy, I didn't recognize him. But Dennis Rodman is over there with a couple of girls, and he's like over there pointing at the guy and snickering. And that guy got up, he walked over, and he said, "Dennis, come here." He said something to Dennis, and Dennis left with the girls. So I think that was like a, "You better leave because I'm about ready to kick the shit out of you." And he'd always walk around with these fancy cigars, but he never would smoke them. He would leave them everywhere. The next day I see one is all bit up on the end in an ashtray. I see one on the ground, and they're his cigars. They all had a white label, and I'm not sure. I think they might have been an Ashton or something, but he always went around there with a cigar in his mouth, but he never smoked it. And then one time I was behind him, and all of a sudden he stops, and the little guy that walks him around, he's like really short, stands back, and he just starts going, and everybody was listening to this guy. I'm like, what the fuck? I just kept walking. I'm like, I have no time for this. Anyhow, he doesn't impress me. I'm sorry I went off on a tangent.
You're fine. We've been doing it all night.
Yeah.
Okay, the relationship between Electra and Rodman, characterized by domestic violence allegations and restraining orders filed by both parties. Additionally, Rodman faced legal issues, including an arrest for suspicion of driving under the influence in Southern California.
Oh, real quick, all this allegedly. Go ahead, Rob. And no, I'm talking about my stuff, not yours.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what I'm saying, you can find on TV over mine.
I was talking about me, and I'm just covering
my
ass.
Right. Okay, next up, we have Miss Robin Givens.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Mike Tyson is infamous for his violent temper and numerous run-ins by the law. But yeah, he ended up doing prison time over beating Robin Givens. So.
Yeah, and didn't he, Desiree Washington?
Domestic violence.
Sexual assault or something to Desiree Washington, maybe?
No, this did not go into that. This is about Robin.
It's not going to say anything. Anyhow, I'm not for sure on that. I just remembered something about that. He did go to prison. Anyhow, go ahead.
The ones that we're in relationships with criminals. And here we got Mike Tyson coming out for our retirement. Okay, here we go. Sandra Bullock.
Okay.
Known for the movie Speed and all that.
Uh-huh.
She was in a relationship with Jesse James, the motorcycle customizer and reality TV star, whose company had violated a number of clean air laws, resulting in hefty fines.
Okay.
But, James admitted to having affairs with multiple women, causing a public scandal and marking the end of their marriage.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, I guess his thing was the clean air laws.
Well, I guess he went to jail for 6 years. He was accused of rape by Desiree Washington. So, anyhow, go ahead.
This did not go into that.
No, it was just covering the Robin Gibbons aspect of it, and I get it. So, anyhow.
Well, no, this was Sandra Bullock.
Oh, Sandra Bullock. I'm sorry.
But
I was going back to what I looked up Mike Tyson. Anyhow, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're going back Tyson?
Yeah, I looked it up, remember?
Oh, I'm on Sandra Bullock and Jesse James.
No, I know that. I was just, looking, I told everybody I was going to go to the internet, and I was just clarifying that. Anyhow, go ahead.
All right. Well, I was done with Sandra Bullock and Jesse James.
Oh, yeah.
He got in trouble for clean air laws. That's it.
For what?
They didn't say
clean air laws?
Yeah.
What the hell did he do?
But I guess there was abuse and stuff in their relationship.
They called him the Vanilla Gorilla because of his penis size. Did you know that?
No.
Look it up. Allegedly. Anyhow, go ahead.
Okay, next. And you ain't gonna believe this one.
Okay.
That this person is on this list. These are people that were relationships with criminals.
Okay.
Charlie Sheen.
Oh, I'm floored. Not really.
Sheen faced media scrutiny for his high-profile relationship with adult film star Ginger Lynn, who served 4 years in prison for tax evasion.
Okay. I forgot they dated, but I didn't know she went to prison.
Dude, I'm surprised he's on this list.
You would think it'd be the other way around, that he was the one
who
traveled.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Evidently, she did more time than he did.
Wow. You can't make this shit up. That's crazy.
No. This, like I said, this is on TV Overmind.
Yeah. Wow. Go ahead. This is good shit, Rob.
Lastly.
Uh-huh.
Whitney Houston, married to Bobby Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. He was known for his abuse, and yeah.
Oh, yeah, and he allegedly is the one that got her on drugs. I don't know if that's true or not. And then I read another article that suggested that the record company did it to control her. Who knows what happened, but we know that Bobby Brown had a past, and yes, it was a very checkered past. So,
well, he had spent time in and out of jail.
Not to be confused with the Bobby Brown chick that dated J.D. Lane from Warrant.
Right.
Or married him, maybe, I think. Yeah. And I think they're both spelt the same way, B-O-B-B-I, Brown.
No, his is B-O-B-B-Y.
Oh, okay. So that's how you tell the difference between the two, is The other Bobby is an I.
Just look up Whitney Houston.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, what a waste, though. Boy, that girl had a golden voice. So, wow. Well, that was really good, Rob. Real good.
I figured you'd like that one.
I love that one. I like it when you come up with stuff like this out of your ass. It's fucking great. I mean, this is stuff that I had no clue of, and it catches me off guard all the time. It's great. So,
all right. Wait till tomorrow night.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, I have an American songwriter for you.
Oh, cool. Well, I've got...
Yes, I do.
I've got Gen Alpha slang terms that have nothing to do with Z and Millennials or us or the Boomers. This is their own language that they use amongst themselves that they take pride in we mostly don't know.
Oh, cool. Well, while we're at it tomorrow night, why don't we hit our top 5 pick of people that eat their earwax?
Oh, yeah. I got mine right here. You have yours.
I've been dying to get to it all night.
I got some people too, dude. I'm very proud of
it. It's too late now. Let's get to it tomorrow night.
We'll do it tomorrow night. We got, and also...
Yeah, dude, we're coming up on...
And then the following podcast, next Saturday, we might get into the hairy asshole Olympics again and try to round that out for a little bit. Hello?
I do not know what just happened.
All of that was on air. It's going to be part of the podcast. I'm going, Rob? And then all of a sudden it starts going, you're calling. Oh, good. Cool.
No, I don't know what the hell happened.
I don't know either. I guess that means it's time to go, right?
Yeah, it was only somebody saying it's time to go to bed or something.
I guess so. Yeah, well, you got to get up in the morning. It's after 9:30. So anyhow, thank you, Rob. Let's go ahead and call it a night. That sound good?
You just want to leave it at that?
I guess. Why, you got something else, or?
No. I don't know if you want to say goodnight, everybody. Or just
No. I was planning on doing that. Oh, hi, Opal.
Hi, Opal.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Jimmy.
I hope you guys dodged the bad weather there last night. No, actually, it wasn't out there. Last night it was Southern Missouri that got romped on, and Arkansas, and Central Missouri. Actually, there was a tornado just north of here.
It was down around us.
That's right.
A little further south.
There was one just north of you for quite a while that was on the ground. They didn't say anything about damage. Do you get some pretty bad storms there?
We had a lot of wind and rain. That was it.
That's what we got here,
and
too.
And temperatures just steadily dropped all day.
Yeah. I wore shorts that day, and by that evening when the cold front came through, I regretted wearing them. I was like, oh, shit. I should have seen this coming. So, anyhow. No, we were supposed to get bad weather here. We're under a tornado watch for several hours, and they're predicting all this weather, hailstones, and all this stuff. We got about 2 claps of thunder and some heavy rain, and that was about it.
We had some lightning. We had a little heavy rain coming through.
No. Well, I mean, I'm not...
Before I went to bed.
I'm not complaining about that. I'm glad we didn't have severe weather because that sucks. And also the insurance claims that we pay for. So, anyhow. All right. Everybody, have a great night. Thank you for listening. Good night, assholes.
Good night, assholes.
Want a pizza with no skin off your back? How about John Wayne Casey's pizza?
Dad, this guy taking our order gives me the creeps. He's such a weirdo.
My breakfast pizza has some odd-looking sausage.
Hey! There's a thumb in my pizza!
Get a free body bag with any large combo.
Two douchebags and a microphone invade your ear holes in... Hey! Who took a dump in the cooler? And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
So, if I have a glass of ice water, and the ice melts into the water, is my water then watered down? I may never know.
Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts. Who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone.
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
Garlic mustard could and should be a go-to food during an apocalypse. Garlic mustard is plentiful everywhere. It is actually an invasive weed, but it can be very delicious and easily taken from about any pasture. Garlic mustard can be stewed or even pan-fried for delicious taste. It can also be added to other ingredients, whether it's a salad or any other type of food, to enhance it. Garlic mustard should be a go-to staple during the apocalypse.
Coming up, a blast from the past. This is where we take old shows and incorporate them into new shows. Because you fucks refuse to go get it.
Christopher, you know our elaborate prank section, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I've got one for you. I never told you about Babel Snatch, have I?
No.
Okay, if I did, just say I didn't know. He knows nothing about Babel Snatch.
I would think I would remember a name like Babel Snatch.
Okay.
So.
Well, Babel Snatch, this is back in the 80s, probably mid-80s, best guess. Could have been 87 at the latest, but anyhow. I used to go to the 7-Eleven in Belvedere, which isn't there now. It was knocked down and then replaced way later by a Quick Trip. But anyhow, I used to go in there all the time and, you know, go in there and buy sodas and shit and whatever, you know, rolling papers for my friends, not for me. And anyhow, you know, just shit like that. So anyhow, there's this guy in there. I think he hated long hairs or something. But anyhow, I noticed he was nice to everybody but me. Like, I'd be third in line there. And anyhow, you know, the first guy, "Hey, Mr. Jones, how you doing?" "Oh, man, yeah, nice weather. Hey, how's the kid?" You know, next person, "Hi, Loretta, how you doing?" "Oh, man, yeah, everything's going good, man. I got the old Taurus running really good." Yeah, come by, man. We'll,
the old Taurus.
Yeah, you know, I come up there, 142. "So, how you doing, Pa?" 142. "Okay, here you go." And I'm like, what the hell? How come this guy hates me? And every time I go in there, nice as pie to everybody but me, it's like, just like, yeah, it'd be 249. "So, weather's pretty nice out there." "Thanks, bye." I'm like, that motherfucker. So he did this so many times, and he just never talked to me. He wouldn't even, like, hardly look at me, you know?
Nice.
So, and I never did nothing to this fucker that I know of. You know, maybe someone said something, like this guy said, you know, that you're a dick, or maybe someone's screwing with him, like, "Hey, man, he thinks you got a nice ass." Who knows? Whatever the fucking deal was, the guy was just a complete tool bag to me constantly. So I was like, "All right, bitch." So I go home and I think about it. I'm like, okay. So I start calling up. I go, "Hey, you got any Babel Snatch gum?" "What? Babel Snatch?" "Oh, man, everybody. I mean, I bought it from there a couple weeks ago. Stuff is fucking awesome, man. I'll tell you what, man, you know, talk to your manager about it."
Is this like a breath freshening gum?
I don't, you know.
Maybe a bubble gum?
I just came up with it. And anyhow, the guy, he bit on it, you know. He was like, I'll check on
that's
it for
awesome.
You. Yeah, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. So anyhow, so I called back a little bit later. Yeah, someone called earlier, you know. And I'm sure we have it here somewhere, but, you know, I'll talk to my manager about it tonight, and we'll see what we can do. So, anyhow, I have a couple other people call it about Babel Snatch gum, and, you know, and they're like, yeah, you know, we're working on getting it in, okay, you know. The regional manager, we called him, and he said that he was going to work on getting it in here, and I go, "Well, you know, I bought it the other day, and it's just so good," and they believe me. I go, "Man, this gum is just so great tasting." And he's like, "It's Babel Snatch, right?" "Yeah, Babel Snatch. That's the name of it." "Okay. All right."
I would have loved to listen into the conversation when he's asking the regional manager about Babel Snatch gum.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, anyhow, I called down there the next day, and I go, hey, man, you know, you got that Babble Snatch gum? You know, the guy's like, oh, hang on, I think it's in. We just had a load. Hang on. So anyhow, so the guy's like, you know, and this is the guy I hated, the Paul guy. So anyhow, he's like, yeah, hang on a second. So I hear him like, yeah, hey, I'm going to go to the back there, and it's in one of the boxes. They said it was coming in today. So, all right, no big deal. So I hear him go back there. I hear some rustling, and a couple people come in. Then he stops. He goes up there. Oh, yeah, it'd be 12:42. Okay, thank you. Have a good day. And then he helps someone else. I hear him go back again. Yeah. I hear him rustling through some more boxes. Meanwhile, I'm laughing my ass off. And anyhow, this guy, he like for like 20 minutes is looking for Babble Snatch gum. So like finally like a half hour later he comes back, he goes, man, he goes, look, I know we're gonna have it in by the end of the day. I talked to my manager. Okay, all right, man. All right, I'll come in tonight and I'll get some gum, man. Save some for me, man, okay? My name's Billy. I'll be in. Okay, all right, I'll save you some Babble Snatch gum, no problem. So a couple hours later I call up and I talk to the manager. Manager's like, yeah, I ordered some a couple days ago, and it should be in. If it's not in right now, it's going to be in by the end of the day. I guarantee you. So I don't know how the hell they ordered it, because there was no such thing as Babble Snatch gum. I made this shit up, and all of a sudden, I mean, everybody wanted this fucking Babble Snatch gum, and it never did exist. Matter of fact, this prank got so good to where I ended up, this is, you know, in the 80s before digital cameras even, let alone, you know, our phone cameras and all the, you know, Photoshop and everything.
No
you
can internet. Do now.
No, we had to like cut stuff out of wrappers and stuff and make a fake Babble Snatch gum and take an old fashioned like Polaroid type of picture.
Oh,
I forgot
what
it was. It could have been one of those old box cameras back then. Probably the only thing I could afford, you know. Anyhow, we actually took
cameras.
A picture of the Babble Snatch gum, and a guy went in there. He goes, hey, man, I need this. The guy's like, I know, man. We're working on getting it in. It's hard to get, man. Everybody wants this Babble Snatch gum. So anyhow, I guess the whole moral of the story is don't be a dick to me, because then I'll do something like that. And even now, to this day, I'll have a couple people on my friends list every now and then, like, send me a little message. He'll go, Babble Snatch. I'm like, ah! Remember one time I was, like, working up in fucking New York or something, and all of a sudden I get a ding, and like I'm on top of this fucking skyscraper there putting in glass, and I look down and it says Babble Snatch, and I'm like, fuck. I'm up there dying, this glass about ready to fall and kill 100 people.
They recover your body and they look at your phone and, well, the last text you received said Babble Snatch. We better look into this.
By some guy named Dirtbag. So anyhow, that is my elaborate prank section of this, unless we throw some more in there. But anyhow, Babble Snatch, never forget it. His name lives on. Well, I got a neat little story here about a little prank that me and Davey, my friend that I refer to often, played. You know, the old Bannister Mall, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, boy, that was an area for a lot of fucking fun. Yeah. We used to get away with murder at that place. We had done the stupidest shit. Well, there was a security guard, little short little fucker, little dumpy little guy named Sam. Mm-hmm. And he hated us long hairs. We were in there getting all the chicks, and he didn't fucking like it. So
yeah.
Sam used to always try to get me kicked out, and Davey too, but more me. He really hated me for some reason. So he'd always screw with me, and he got me kicked out for about 2 weeks. Then we went to court, and then the judge said, you can't kick him out. It's a public mall, you know, so.
Yeah.
So anyhow, you know, one of the biggest ways to sell a hoax is to... We found this out, was to have a setup guy that no one knew. Just a guy to confirm what you're saying. You know, oh, yeah, I did see that monkey over there.
Yeah,
last I saw him, he was on top of that building, and he was throwing shit at somebody.
The random witness you see
disappears.
The random
witness, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So, this guy, okay, this is Bannister Mall, early 1980s. Me and my good buddy Davey were hanging out, and... there were crazy long hairs that, you know, the average teen would follow, you know, because we're long hairs and, you know, we're kind of like the Pied Piper of teens.
Yeah.
People, like, used to look at us and go, well, there's the party. Let's just follow them around until they go to it.
I've done that.
Yeah, they used to do it all the time. We'd be like, where are you guys going? Cleveland? Ohio? No, Missouri.
That guy looks like he might have beer.
Yeah. So they just start following us, and that's just the way it were. And then we'd all introduce, hey, I'm so and so, and we'd have a good time, Cleveland Lake or something.
Yep.
Slamming beers, doing stupid shit. So Davey and I had certain buddies that would walk up and hear the bullshit that we're spewing, and then help seal the deal. They'd sell it completely. One guy that walked around to help us was a punker named Jason. Jason was really cool because he looked like the type of guy that wouldn't like us.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to talking to him, and we saw eye to eye on everything except music.
Yeah.
Everything else, we were the same.
Cool.
Fuck society, fuck the average guy, fuck this, fuck that, But when it came to music, we're like fucking listening to Motley Crue and shit like that. And he was listening to, the Ramones or even deeper than that, Dead Kennedys, The Germs.
Television.
Yeah, he was a real punker. So he had an orange mohawk.
Sweet.
Wore black spike leather. And Doc Martens. So you got the guy, right? You know who I'm talking about. So, great guy, though. I'd love to know what happened to him. So, Jason, if you happen to hear this abortion, please... I guess that, it's a bad word now, isn't it?
Oh.
This atrocity.
There we go.
If you happen to hear this horrible atrocity, then, send us an email.
Yeah.
I forgot what the valid email is, so.
We put so many bullshit ones out there, we can't remember our real one.
I know. There is a valid one, and I can't remember what the hell it is. So.
We also have an actual real phone number. Hell if I know that one either.
Yeah, so I can't even remember the real one. There you go. So,
show prep.
Yeah. Here I was talking about show prep and making a big deal out of it, and I can't even remember our email. So, anyhow, meanwhile, there's this one security guard named Sam that I kind of alluded to or actually went into a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Sam was a jealous little pussy bitch. He constantly tried to get me kicked out and barred from the mall, and like I said earlier, he did for a while, for a couple of weeks, and we went to court.
Mm-hmm.
I got back in, which really fumed his ass, burned his ass.
Oh, bad.
Because every time I seen him, I was like overzealous about him. Hi, Sam, how are you? You came over for dinner tonight, little guy?
A little tiny bit of authority he had, and it's gone.
You look cute today. I beeped his nose one time. He went unglued. So, me and Davey used to play mean tricks on Sam constantly.
Sounds like he deserved it.
Oh, he did, So, we quickly went to Jason to be the casual guy walking mm-hmm. by to sell it. So, Jason's over in the corner where the movie theaters upstairs used to be, because then they went downstairs for a while and then they disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
But they used to be upstairs, mid-upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think right across from food court, maybe. If I remember correctly.
Well, now in my mind I'm getting a bit confused with Ward Parkway, because their movie theater shifted around a bit too.
Okay, well, anyhow, this is when they were upstairs, because I remember that part well, because people were coming in to go to movies and we're screwing with them, so.
Yeah.
So Davey and I set this one up perfectly. We had a buddy that, he won a backstage pass to Great White.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
them?
Mm-hmm.
It's a video shoot, okay? As an extra.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. And he was in it. I don't know if it's once bit or something else, but he was in it. And so, and on the back was stamped used.
Yeah.
But on the front, it had an MTV logo. It didn't have a specific band. It didn't say Great White. It just said extra for MTV video shoot. And I remember really well, it was green with an orange MTV on it with their famous logo.
Yeah.
It was really cool looking, and it was like made with some sort of a a really thick paper, and it was engraved, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was raised. It felt great. It felt like the seal of
embossed
something.
Embossed paper. Embossed. Raised printing.
Raised printing, whatever. Yeah.
Makes it a lot harder to counterfeit.
Yeah, so
plus,
Dave,
it makes it look cool.
So our friend agreed to let us borrow this for a little while. We got it back to him, like we said, and all that. We didn't tear it up or steal it or nothing. So Davey started waving the card in the air and making fun of me because he got this and I didn't. He's like, hey, I'm going to be on this
whatever, you video. Know. Yeah. So he's way around going, I'm going to be on the video, and you're not, because you're too stupid, and you couldn't win, and you're and all this stuff, right? So this magical card was supposed to be a freebie to be an extra on the set of MTV. Mm-hmm. This is what we set it up to be, right? A list of hundreds of bands. The secret MTV guy walking around, he was walking around the mall, and this was going to be Sam eventually.
Mm.
So the secret MTV guy that has these free magical passes was Sam, only he didn't know it. So Davey's like, yeah. And I'm like, fucking asshole. Yeah, all this stuff. So automatically, see people getting ready to walk in, right? Yeah. Getting ready to go to movie, they're like, dunk. Yeah, just like magnetic, dunk. They're just staring at us. And Davey's like, and all this stuff. I'm like, man, it sucks, man. You get to go and I don't. So Davey is waving this around, making fun of me, and Jason will walk by.
Mm-hmm.
They go, yeah, I fucking won one too, but I threw it at him because there's no punk bands on it. Fuck that. I don't want to go. So all of a sudden, wow. Those kids are fucking coming over there. What was this? So.
That's so clever.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So we set it up perfect. So the reason that we picked Sam to do this on that day was because we had the card for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing plain clothes. Yeah. And I guess he thought he was going to catch shoplifters or something, not wearing his little fucking bitch outfit that he normally wore. So Jason, instead of us, goes, yeah, that fucking little douche right there is the one. That's the secret MTV guy. We didn't even say it. He did it. It sold it even more.
Yeah.
Because all these teens were like, fucking their heads spun around and they're staring at him. And so Jason said, wow. Yeah, he goes, I bit him on the ear to get one. So the story was this.
It's getting better and better.
The more outrageous you were, the more likely you were to get a free pass for MTV.
Perfect.
Yeah. So automatically he had like fucking 50 teens jumping in front of him, fucking biting his ear, kicking him in the ass. One guy was clucking like a chicken in his face. Another guy's like, look, I'm a bird. Some guy fucking jumped off of one side. Another guy ripped off one of the trees and hit him with a switch. And Sam was just fucking freaking out, man. He's like, what the fuck? And they're like, we want a pass. He's like, what pass? This probably went on for fucking 25 minutes.
He was losing his mind.
Yes, he was.
He's like, what planet did I wake up on?
He get 10 teens away from him, right? And then you have 10 more teens attacking. So we leave. We let this go on and let it go downhill. And those teens told another one, get the pass from that fucker. He didn't give us anything. So this just kept rolling on and rolling on and rolling on. So we come back a couple hours later. We went to, what we did. We went to Andy's Santa Fe and had a burrito.
Mm, I remember the Andy's.
And we weren't even old enough to drink, but we still did because they never carded there.
Yeah,
we both
right.
had margaritas. We were fucking laughing, had our feet on the table and shit. Davey had fucking flip-flops on, so they eventually got mad and kicked us out because you could see his toenails hanging out. And people didn't like that.
Yeah.
So we get back in, and all of a sudden we see Sam coming by, all disheveled. By this time, everything was gone. It was all said and done. I go, hey, Sam, you want to know where all that came from? Us. Davey pulled out the card and said, see this? I go, yeah, you just been had, bitch. Oh, he was fucking furious. He turned red, you motherfucker, I'm going to get you out of here. I'm going to get you guys kicked out for good. I go, what for? I didn't do anything against them all. We didn't get kicked out. Man, that was one of the best fucking pranks we ever played. That's
brilliant.
And I just thought about it the other day. I'm like, my God. There are some other ones I got to remember that we did to him too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I got another one. You listened to the solo cast, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell the story about the Nutbiter.
Oh, yes.
Oh, gosh.
Big and...
When I was with that band, I wasn't drinking, so when we play drinking games, I'd have to drink this water, which is, not really much of a game, because half the game is watching everyone get drunk, and they have to take a drink or whatever.
It gives you a one-up, though. You see stupid shit happening, and other people don't identify with it, because they're smashed.
Yeah.
But well, then again, it'd be fun or Smash because you'd be like, ah. Yeah.
Well, they came up with a variation for me since, you know, instead of drinking alcohol, I was drinking water. They made the exception is I could not get up. I couldn't leave the circle to go pee. Everyone else could, but, you know, since I wasn't getting hammered on water, then my punishment was I couldn't pee.
That's a pretty...
Yeah. That lasted for, you know, a while, and I was like, okay, I voluntarily lose, quit, whatever, because I got to go pee right now.
Like that?
Yeah. Some of those drinking games went on way too long, and by the time we got back to the club to play that night, some of us were still a little hammered.
A little bit. A little residual leftover glaze.
Yes.
Been there, done that.
And then you got the choice, you know, do I, you know, if you're that person, if, you know, you start the gig off and you're kind of wasted, do you just keep it going throughout the gig, or do you let yourself come down during the gig, and by the fourth set, you're like, fuck this, I hate life, let me go.
I was talking to a guy at work similar to that. When I was younger, I used to have to decide, because we were out late one night having some beers and stuff, and I ended up leaving that place like 2:30 or something,
yeah.
Which is rare for me. You know, yeah. Usually I've been asleep a long time. And a couple days later, I'm talking to him, and I go, you know, when I was younger, I used to have that one moment where I had to stop for a second at what I was doing,
mm-hmm.
and go, all right, I got to be at work in 4 hours. Do I want to just ride this out, party, mm-hmm. and try to sober up the last couple hours and go to work? Or do I want to shut this fucking thing down,
yep.
get 4 hours of sleep, and then go in there and go to work? And usually it was like, I'm just going to ride this thing through, and I'll sleep tomorrow, which I never did, because then all of a sudden a bunch of people show up. And anyhow, they'd be like, hey, come on, man, get in the car. We're going to go over to so-and-so's. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, you know. And, you know, usually take me 3 or 4 days to catch up, and then I'd have to, usually a Tuesday night.
But it seems like that would be the wiser choice, is to stay awake and ride it out. When I was in that situation...
Yeah, because you feel like shit, you know. You actually get about 3 hours or 2.5 hours sleep, because you're forcing yourself to sleep, but you still want to party.
You get a little bit of bad sleep, bad quality sleep. When you wake up, your body is finally to the point where it wants to sleep, but now you have to wake up.
Yeah, when you get in that really deep sleep, you wake up.
Yeah. And then what's even worse is... While you're asleep, you can't monitor your symptoms and take steps to counteract. Like, if you're dead asleep, because you're half wasted.
No, you wake up where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, you may be so sick to your stomach that normally you'd wake up and do something about it, but you're sleeping so hard in those couple 3 hours that it just sits there and gets worse and worse.
You can, like,
by the time
down.
You wake up, you feel like total shit. Whereas if you stayed awake, you could treat those symptoms as they came up. You'd be more tired, but after the end of a couple hours, you're like, okay, I got my nausea under control, I got myself hydrated, I got some drops in my eyes. It usually worked out better because you had that time to start treating yourself. I would run into that, not necessarily because I was wasted, but just because I was tired. Some of those out-of-town gigs, I'd work all day Friday, mm-hmm. drive out to, you know, some hour and a half out of town, set up, play, tear down, and then I'd have to drive back to KC and get a little bit of sleep and go work Saturday. I worked a lot of Saturdays. And then when I was done with work, I'd have to load up, drive back to that little town where everybody else still was, and go play the second night. It was like, ugh, this sucks so hard. See, that's when I should have been freebasing coke or something. You know, that's when I needed all that energy. But, you know, there I was trying to exist on coffee and cigarettes, and it just wasn't cutting it.
Oh, no. Looks like the show's over, kids. Mark has explosive diarrhea and can't afford a wireless mic. Fear not, assholes. They'll be back invading your ear holes soon.